o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. So, Jesse, I know we played a large chunk of Matt LaFleur's press conference because of me, and 4.5 minutes of your life you may not get back. I get it.
That was good.
I thought it was pretty good, personally, not because of my questions, but because of his answers. But I'm really as intrigued as I was by the "you can't fathom" spiel. I'm even more intrigued.
That's a fun word, isn't it? Fathom.
Fathom. Like, yeah, it's a great word.
In. Yep.
But I do want to get into how he handled questions about Jordan Love's availability. And again, the fact that he felt the need at one point to come out and say that it was a legitimate injury, I want Tausch to help me understand what's going on here, because this is the kind of stuff that when you follow in the footsteps of the most durable quarterback in NFL history and another guy who wasn't no slouch either playing through injuries, and there's these kind of underpinnings of, well, maybe he can play, maybe he can't, now he didn't. And the way LaFleur and Steno handled it last week, I think, raised some questions. So, Jesse, here...
Yeah. I've got three different clips for you, and I could just probably play all three at different stages, I think, is maybe the way we do this.
That's what I was going to ask you, is how do you want to do it?
Like Kubler.
This is going to be like one of those Tausch games from Get Up, when he used to tell us all the time what he wanted, but he didn't really say, and so I just kind of like guessed on three things. And no, that wasn't it. No, that might be what we're in store for here. And then I can say, why don't you just tell me what you wanted to hear?
Why don't you just tell me the clip you want to play?
All right,
so set up the first clip.
So this one is responding to, will Love get more reps in practice this week?
Okay.
Here's what Matt LaFleur said.
That was my question.
Oh, good question.
Well, we'll see. I mean, again, I think anybody that saw what happened to him, I mean, that's a legitimate injury. So, he's working through it. He's doing everything in his power. He wants to be out there, and, we want him out there.
All right, let me be clear. The people who cut this up for us, the Rileys, the Hunters, the Josh DiMaggio's on down the line, I don't know if you get credit for that or not.
I don't do that.
Okay,
no.
I didn't think so. You delegate that, clearly. I appreciate their hard work. This is a legit injury is how I would have labeled that, because Tausch, the fact that he says that, what do you mean? Were there people that thought it wasn't a legit injury? Why is he saying that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's saying it because players feel pressure to play. And I think Jordan, obviously, you're trying to do this subterfuge and let teams not fully understand what's happening. And then expectations change when a guy can get back. And that's the risk that you play with that. And I think Matt LaFleur, when he's saying it's up to Jordan, I think I want to make sure I'm quoting it correctly. I think he said that to Domofsky on Friday. Well, you're going to leave it up to Jordan. Coaches have to also make sure that their messaging kind of matches up with what is actually going on, because you don't want to put your player in a position of defending himself against not playing. It's hard enough as a player to not play. And then when you have rumblings, and I don't think I haven't seen any. Maybe you have. Where people are saying that he should be playing, I have not seen that. I think people are, really relieved that he wasn't out for the season. And if he misses another 2 or 3 weeks, I think you'll start hearing some rumblings of that. But for the most part, I think Matt LaFleur wants to make sure his quarterback isn't being pressured or feeling that more than he already does on wanting to get back out there and play. And I think that's what that messaging is, to make sure everybody, reminder that we thought he might be out for the year. Mm-hmm. And he's fighting and competing and doing everything he can to get back out to play. In case anyone is thinking anything otherwise, I want to make sure to reiterate and pound that point home. But the ironic part of it is, by playing the subterfuge game, you're feeding that narrative that he might be back sooner than rather than later. And that just adds another layer to the recovery for Jordan.
So the issue that I have is that this narrative has been fueled by him and by Steno, right? Just to recap, if you missed this last week, someone asked Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator, how will you know that Jordan's ready to play on Sunday? And Steno's answer was, Jordan will tell us. And of course, you're sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute, won't the doctors tell you that he's ready to play? But no, he said Jordan will tell us.
Okay.
And then on Friday, I asked Matt LaFleur, how much say in whether Jordan plays does Jordan have? And he said a lot. A lot of it is up to Jordan. And that was on the heels of him being asked, has he been medically cleared to play in a game? And him nodding his head and saying, we're working through that. And then the follow-up question being, well, does the nodding mean he's been medically cleared? We're working through that. So if there are fans who are wondering if he could have played and chose not to, that is what fueled it. It ain't me, because I am Team Jordan on this. And I mentioned this yesterday. It was in the This Is Why YouTube comments, so constructive and helpful. Someone mentioned RG3 is the example. RG3 suffers a PCL injury, misses only one game, comes back. The stability of his knee is compromised. He suffers a ACL, MCL, the whole shebang injury. And he's dude's out of the league within, what, 5 years? Goes from being one of the rising stars in the league to being donezo. So for me, I don't have any problem with him not coming back until he's ready. But I told you this at Sid's soccer game. There are dads saying Aaron Rodgers would have played.
Mm-hmm.
That quarterback that Tausch didn't divulge who he was talking to, but it was Brett Favre, he would have played. Like, that's part of it too. And so the biggest thing for me, Tausch, is that I'm glad that Malik Willis played well enough that they won these two games without him. Because had they lost them both and they were 0-3,
Pressure gets ratcheted up.
Yeah, not great, Bob, right?
Yeah, I don't fully understand Matt's like plan on this, though. Like, unless it was all about just confusing Indy and Tennessee, you're adding another layer to a already complicated issue of when he's going to get back and how soon he can get back and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know if you're gaining that much, because most people rightfully guessed that it was going to be Malik Willis, and it was Malik Willis.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that 10%, if they got 10% of Indy to go over Jordan Love game plan, if that 10% made the difference, or Tennessee, I don't know. But I do know that you set the tone for how long a guy's going to be up with saying, yeah, he's going to definitely miss a couple weeks, and then we're going to reevaluate. That's an ideal world for a player, because then it's off the table for you.
Correct.
As a player. And the same thing with Tua and his concussions. If they don't put him on IR, it is a national conversation topic. Now you get 4 weeks where you just go ahead and you do your thing. And then we'll reopen that conversation in 5 weeks. They could have done that and said, you know what, he's going to miss the next two. We're not going to put him on IR because we hope that he'll recover, and but he is not going to be ready. And if you do that, then all of a sudden, now this week, the conversation starts. Now, for the most part, it hasn't been a ton of – there's been some, but it hasn't taken up all of the oxygen. And when is Jordan back? When I think this will be the first week that it's a legitimate chance. Hey, Paula, there's a legitimate chance for you to do that. That's what I would think.
Right. I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. I don't know if you're coming to the game anymore or not.
I'm not. I had a pass, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it didn't work itself out.
But you still want Jordan to play, right?
What happened?
I do. Well, I mean, I've been gone. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. Probably a good time to maybe spend a little time with my kids.
You even got you got the early kickoff and everything.
And I had the great seats. That was what really was swaying me. Like the really plush, beautiful, and otherwise I was never even going to entertain it. And cooler heads and smarter people, we had some good conversations, and I have decided to watch the game on my phone while I'm watching hockey is what I'm going to end up doing.
You selling tickets?
No, they're not my tickets to sell. Oh. So no.
Dang.
And I don't think I'd be doing that. I wouldn't be probably doing that. I don't think that's legal on air. I don't know all the rules.
I was just this was a you and I conversation.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not.
All right. Well, all I know is I think if he doesn't play on Sunday against the Vikings without you in the stands,
yep,
and they lose, there's going to be increased pressure. And
agreed.
Even though the original diagnosis.
3-6.
3-6. Yep. This would be week 3.
Yeah.
So, again, I always have felt that if you just say, look, it's a 4-6 week injury. We're hoping he's back on the early end of that. But until he's ready to go, there's no sense talking about him. I don't think, here's my other issue with this. I don't think that the subterfuge is worth, the juice is not worth that squeeze. Because now you find yourself having to come out.
But how do you ever know? How do you know if it was or not? Because is it worth winning two games, Jason? 100% it is.
Do you think that one of the primary reasons they won those games was because the other team did not know if Jordan Love was playing or not?
I think the first game, I don't believe for a second that Indianapolis thought that Jordan Love was playing. I don't. But do I think that they had no clue what Matt LaFleur was going to cook? No, I don't think they did. And they obviously didn't, or they went to giving up 230 yards in the first half. Okay? So is the subterfuge worth the squeeze is really the question you're asking.
Yes.
And in the grand scheme of things, I would say if Jordan is okay with it and understands the scenario and mentally stays fresh and doesn't let any of the other stuff. And again, there has been little to no criticism that I have seen. Maybe you've seen more. I have not heard, read, or seen a ton of criticism about Jordan Love not being back out there in 2 weeks on a 3-6. That will get ratcheted up. And if you're looking at an 0-3 team playing the Vikings at home, if you don't think that would have been ratcheted up to an nth degree this week, you don't know ball. So now, I still, if they don't play him, it's like, well, Malik Willis done good enough. You can win. There's not going to be that pressure. But if you lose to the Vikings and they go 4-0 and you're two games back, it will be ratcheted up intensely in the next couple weeks. You best believe that.
Yeah, and again, I don't know what's going to happen. I am very curious to see how this plays out.
So you've been right. You've been right so far, and I have adhered to you, even though part of me pushed like maybe practiced a little bit. Mm-hmm. I agreed with you. I think he's playing this week. You joining my club?
I am. I don't think he necessarily should, yeah. But I think he will. I think the internal pressure is now to the point where he's feeling it in the building, he's feeling it outside the building. I don't know if that's a great reason to go and play, even though
don't
you're not
you think
feeling
that,
quite
don't,
ready.
Don't you also think that he's healed up enough? He's moving around pretty good in warm-ups. He's not going to go out there just because he's feeling pressure to play. Because he felt pressure to play last week and the week before, and he wasn't ready. So they're not going to put him out there. So I think MCLs heal differently. Again, I continue to lay, you got a scar. You got to lay that bed a scar. You got to let it reattach. You got to let it kind of strengthen up. And then it's just about pain management and put a big old bulky brace on, go out there and compete. And then the question is, are you going to be more effective at whatever percentage health you're going to be, or what you're doing is working? So you wouldn't feel that pressure to the same degree because, A, you have that contract. You're locked in. You know you're the guy. That's a part of this, too. If he didn't have that contract, you best believe he'd be pushing even harder because that matters. But it's more about, well, this team is winning, and I can come back to something, and we're in a great spot. It's not going to be desperate times, desperate measures. All those things play into this.
No doubt. I guess my question now is, after what they've done in these two games, the way they've come up with game plans, the way Malik Willis has played, do you think they're thinking, because look, we all have egos, you've said that many times, do you think they're all thinking, well, we can do it again, or they're thinking, okay, we're done pressing our luck. let's get our guy back out there, even if he's not 100%.
Well, typically when you press your luck,
you get a whammy.
You lose something. Maybe you lose half your pot or you get a whammy. And that's when you recalibrate. Because you'll push it until you can't push it no more. And there's still room here to push if that's what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We'll shift gears again because there's some other things we want to get into, including Power Rankings Tuesday. But before we can do that, Tausch needs to tell us about Prize Picks and how things are going when he runs his game.
It's been a little bit of a mixed bag. I've had a ton of success last week. This week, not as much. Daniel Jones, I still don't know how he did what he did. Cleveland must stink worse than I thought, but Prize Picks doesn't. It is America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 5 million active members. Easiest, most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And unlike other apps, Prize Picks just UV the numbers. Pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you watch the winnings roll in. I went with Daniel Jones this week. I hit on my guy, Narvi, again. He had another good week. I hit on Caleb Williams again, but no good for Daniel Jones. He had a day, and I did not anticipate that. You can have a day. Sign up. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't even need to win to get that $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI. First deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run
your
game.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Intentionally not looked at the ESPN NFL Power Rankings, Jesse. It's a piece that I like to read every week, but I realize that you like to keep us in suspense. So without further ado, here is Jesse Nelson and the Tuesday Power Rankings.
The debate is always at what point in the power rankings list will Tausch get too upset with the power rankings and say they're hogwash or some variety of that word.
Okay.
This week's ESPN NFL power rankings, and then there is, you know, the little ditty that comes with it afterwards. We do have that as well for what the NFL Nation has identified. We'll get to that once we identify where the Packers are on the list. Tausch, before you hear the list, where do you think the Green Bay Packers check in this week?
Number 10.
All right. We'll see how close you are. Here we go. Starting at the top, your number one team, the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs. Any objections?
No. Nope.
Number two, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Josh Allen is, you know, playing the part. He's not trying to do too much. I still think their defense is vulnerable, but you have to give them credit. They retooled, and it looks like they're a better football team than they were last year.
I have a feeling things are going to change at number three.
Oh, boy.
The Minnesota Vikings, number three in this week's ESPN NFL Power Rankings.
You're going to be surprised. I don't have
you're
a problem.
You're going to agree.
I don't have a problem.
Wow.
Didn't they just beat the Texans? Is that who
they did?
Beat?
49ers and Texans back-to-back weeks.
How am I going to argue with that? Like, do I think that they're a juggernaut? I'm not going to sit here. I said in the beginning of the year that they're going to stink, that they're going to have a bad year. I've been wrong so far. Is this going to be sustainable? I don't know. We'll see. Big test coming into Lambeau this week with potentially Jay Love back under center, but Minnesota deserves a ton of credit, and I know Jason and I get into a little bit of squabbles about, you know, the league coming at you fast. Well, the league has come at you fast, and they've run the race.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and say they deserve all the attaboys you can give, because San Fran's supposed to be the real deal. Houston's supposed to be the real deal. And they just went out of here.
Kevin O'Connell, top three coach in the league.
I like him, too. And that's sacrilegious from a Packer fan standpoint.
Me, too.
I saw him on one of those Barstool deals. He's funny. Like he's not an old little square that you can't root. Like, I think he's kind of a funny dude. So I give him credit. They've done a great job up to this point. Let's see what happens when they come up to old 12-6-5, though, huh? Then we'll talk.
Who is a square that you can't root for as a head coach?
I can give you a bunch of guys.
Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, I'm not. You can't root for him. Yeah, it's a great one. Too.
Just ask the Bears fans.
That was for you, Pablo.
Oh, and you know, for all these people that'll say these systems, oh, the system is what does it. How's that system in Miami with that genius coach without Tua? That system didn't look too blanking good this weekend.
How's that system for Cincinnati with Joey B? They're all in three.
The offensive system looked pretty good last night. As the defensive system, it looked like garbanzo, in fairness.
So there are five undefeated teams remaining in football. Three have been ranked in the top three in the power rankings. Another one is in at number four, the team that put it on, the Miami Dolphins. The Seattle Seahawks are number four. Oh,
I was
going to
guess Pittsburgh.
No, I'm not buying them. But
Seattle or Pittsburgh?
No, I'm not going to buy either. I think both have been gritty, and they're gutty, and they're competitive, and blah, 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 blah. I don't think either quarterback's going to get it done. So take it for what it's worth. I don't think Sam Darnold is either. I think it's a cute little story. I think their teams deserve a ton of credit. But am I buying them? Nah.
We've set a new Wildy and Tausch record for cute little stories today.
How about the Detroit Lions at number five at 2-1? Are they a cute little story?
Seems a little high to me, but yeah, that is a tough, gritty team. And I don't trust their quarterback.
Top three coach?
A lot of people do. I love Dan Campbell. I think he's a dude. He is a dude. And I think that is somebody that I think people, he's not putting on smoke and mirrors. He shoots straight with his team. I just don't know if they're going to be able to climb that mountain. They climbed pretty far, but they fell really far. They're going to be in the mix. I like them as a football team. I do not like, and I love their offensive line. That's why I like their team. I don't love their quarterback.
The only team to beat the Green Bay Packers this season is in at number six, the Philadelphia Eagles.
What a goofy game that was. The Saints, you turn it on, it was like 7-0 with like 5 minutes left in the game, wasn't it? It was like just a goofy game in New Orleans after your boy puts up all those big numbers and he's El Stinko on
Came back down
Sunday.
To earth, yeah. Honeymoon's over.
It makes me wonder.
Aiden O'Connell?
Philly's D.
That was a late game.
Is Philly's D the real deal? And if so, Green Bay moved the ball pretty effectively down in Sao Paulo. I think Philly will be there. I think Philly has enough talent. Saquon obviously has been a great addition. Jalen Hurts seems to be healthier. Philly will be in the mix. They're going to be battling right there with Green Bay and Detroit. I'm not sure I'm going to put San Fran in that mix that they're going to be in there. I think that this climb of the hill, I got to see them get their feet back in there, because right now they're sliding with no little, what are the little spikes? They don't have any spikes. They're just sliding. They're holding on to dear life, trying to figure out how can we regain some of our composure to start climbing again. They're slipping. Mount Everest.
I wasn't sure if that was a Brazil turf or Mount Everest reference.
Slip sliding away.
So a lot of times you have to have like cleats. Like if you go do the Grand
Seven
Canyon
studs.
You do the Grand Canyon in the spring. There's snow. They recommend you put these little cleats that you clip into your boots to get better grip.
Oh, there's a snake in my boot.
My point is they don't have those grips yet. And I don't know if they're going to get them.
Got an old boy
going over to Germany trying to get some stem cell shoots to get. Oh, it's a beautiful picture. What a deal.
Is that in Germany?
No.
Das Machu Picchu.
They're good, Machu Picchu.
Can you believe that? To show that up again, Jesse, and I know this isn't great for terrestrial radio, but
no,
that
not.
Mountain behind that, I climbed to the top of that blanking mountain right there.
Wait, the mountain behind it?
Yes.
Covered in the clouds?
The ones that, like, you went above the clouds?
It's Machu Picchu.
Bless you.
That's pretty good. I got to confirm with Helmut. He's an avid listener to the show.
You don't even know if that's the mountain
put
you climbed?
Put it back up there. Just stop giving me grief.
Please, put it back up there for everyone listening on the radio again. Thank
I believe
you.
That's if that's Machu Picchu, I climbed that. Maybe that little baby one was Machu Picchu, but I'm pretty sure that big boy was Machu Picchu. Continue. Went to some dark places on that trip, I'll tell you that.
I've been to some dark places on this show.
Did you have your cleats, though?
I did not have cleats. I was like the Niners. There was times I was ready to mail it in, too. I ain't going to lie to you.
Maybe you need to go times. To. Maybe it's time to go to Germany for that bad left knee of yours for some stem cells.
Potentially.
Tough to get up Mount Everest the first time for some. Number 7 is the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to comb through a couple of these.
I was
going to
say,
here.
Oh my God, we're still doing this.
7 is the Steelers. 8 is the Houston Texans. 9 is the 49ers at 1-2.
Can't
Tausch.
Do it, bro. Can't put San Fran ahead of Green Bay. Not right now. That's living in the past, bro. You're not living in the past. This season's not the past. This is not your same 49ers. This isn't your mama's or daddy's 49ers. This is a flawed football team that they got a lot of guys that got to do some gut checks. And I think they will. For the record, I think they will. And I think they'll somehow, some way scrap and get a 6 or a 7 spot and maybe better. But Brock Purdy's Brock Purdy. And without McCaffrey and without Debo, how good is he? I don't know, Jim. I don't know. I think that's a – this is a team that's got a lot of gut check time ahead of it, and we'll see how they do.
Number 10, the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
Still going. Number 11, there they are, the Green Bay Packers. Just behind the Saints and just in front of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and I'm okay with being behind the Saints. I mean, we're both 2-1. I'm sure the Saints would win with their backup quarterback in impressive fashion. I'm sure that's how it would go. Again, I don't care at this point. San Francisco has no business being ahead of Green Bay right now. Everybody else, I don't have a problem. You're 3-0. You're better. You're getting Green Bay's 2-1. Don't have a problem with it. So, yeah, I'm all right with them sliding in. They went up 5 spots, I think, from last week. So, yeah, it's about where I was close to where I thought they'd be.
They have been winning without Taysom Hill, so give them credit for that. He was injured. Look, I think 11 is fine. My question is, and this goes to what Tausch said after the game. I heard him on Green Bay Game Day. Does this tell us how good this team is that they are winning without their quarterback? Like, is this a reflection of how good the overall team is? Because that was kind of some of the argument you were having, right? That wait till they get the penalties straightened out, wait till they get their starting quarterback back, et cetera, et cetera.
This, and you're not going to be shocked. It's a testament to Brian Gutekunst.
Oh, of course it is.
Well, that's what it is. The roster is deep and talented. Could this team have overcome Aaron Rodgers being hurt in 21 and 22?
Maybe. No.
Did they do it in 2013? They overcame it, but by a sliver, by a thorn in your finger that you can't get out. That's how much they overcame it by. This team flourished with Jordan Love being out.
All right.
Well, they did.
They won. They won against bad teams.
Half the league is bad, J-Dub.
No, I'm not saying
for the record, I'm not saying they're winning a Super Bowl without Jordan Love. They're not. Okay.
Okay. But, well, true. I agree.
Well,
we don't
know.
Your club.
In fairness, we don't know. It's going to hopefully be something
we
can't prove. We can't prove. What I will say is this roster with the youth, competitiveness, and talent, has there been a better one in the last 10 years? I'd say 2014 is probably the next best.
Yeah. And the thing about 2014 was they stayed really healthy that year. And I'm seeing already in week three a bunch of teams that are losing very critical pieces. And knock on wood, the Packers have not had that happen for the rest of the year. They've obviously played without Jordan Love for 2 weeks,
which is
that
kind
is
of
a major
deal.
Injury. Don't get me wrong.
That's what LaFleur just told you. It is a major injury, just to remind you.
It is a legitimate injury. Legitimate. He was limited. All right. Well, maybe Jordan will get to practice tomorrow and say, pour me in, coach, for all the one reps with the starters.
Oh, yes, he will. And it'll be Tito's Handmade Vodka on game day. Pour me in, coach, from a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch. Root, root, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody, salt the rim of a Tito Rita, or take home the win with a Tito's and whatever your little heart desires. Soda, cranberry, water, whatever. You're calling the game. You change up your roster. You wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? I don't even know whose house this is, but I know it's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
I would like to add one thing on Power Rankings Tuesday before we move on for good.
This is going to be a shot at Pablo as to where the Bears are.
It is not. The Carolina Panthers are out of the cellar 1 week after Tausch proclaimed them the worst team ever and they would be there all season. A new team has replaced the Carolina Panthers at number 32.
I don't even know who that could be.
You got a good glimpse of them.
The Packers just beat them.
The Tennessee Titans.
The Titans are not worse.
Are number 32.
No, they're not. No.
They're pretty bad.
The Titans stink. Carolina stinks worse.
Carolina's 1-2, and they scored the most points of any team besides the Bills this week. And Washington, I guess.
Go ahead and bet. Go ahead and bet big on Carolina.
Of all the teams that didn't play on Monday, Carolina outscored them.
Go ahead and ride that pony. Oh boy, you ain't going nowhere with that pony. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Ride that pony. Speaking of things that stink, Wonelli is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse, that was mean. I don't think Wonelli sticks. It's just a joke.
Some days you do.
Well, some days it does, but not every day. Including
now you're being
today.
Mean again.
Sorry. You're right. You look great. I really like your shirt.
Oh, thanks. Pablo's got a polo on, too. We're kind of polo pals back here.
When Pablo leaves, does he go lift? Is that what's happening?
Most likely, yes.
Okay, because he's looking yoked.
He's very much in shape. Yes.
All right, let's move on. Time for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wildy and Tausch.
Tausch, you're not gonna believe it.
Oh, well, okay.
The Brewers are playing at 3:40 Pacific time for you today. 5:40
Central. Yeah, okay.
6:40 in Pittsburgh, which you know what that means. We get to close out the regular season of baseball with Pirate Trivia a little bit later this week.
Geez.
Get ready. Pirates for 3, Mets for 3 at AmFam Field. Here's the question I want to ask you, because they're 4 back of the Phillies, and the Phillies own the tiebreaker. Brewers aren't catching the Phillies. They're not catching the Dodgers either. They're ahead of the Phillies. Brewers are going to be the 3 seed. They're going to get a home series, 2 out of 3, wild card round next week.
Okay.
They're either, and this is a most likely, because the Braves could get back into it if they beat the Mets in a few games. They're probably going to play either the Diamondbacks or the Mets, who they are seeing. Obviously, they just saw the Diamondbacks for 4, and they play the Mets in the final series of the season. If you're manager of the year, Pat Murphy. How are you handling this week? Because you can't get worse. You're not going to have a road series. Like, you're locked into the three seed at this point unless miracles happen. And you're playing a team Friday, Saturday, Sunday that you very likely could face in round one in 2 or 3 days later. What do you do?
Just faced one, too.
And you just faced one last week, and they took 3 out of 4 from you, and you needed an 8-run comeback to beat one of them. What do you do? How do you handle this week?
So you play all your position players as much as normal. I don't think you take, you know, if it's a scheduled day off, give the scheduled day off. Maybe rest guys a little bit on Sunday. But I'm all about who am I going to have pitch, and they're not going to see the New York Mets. None of that. If that's who it ends up being, or the because you play the Mets this series to close up the
Friday,
season.
Saturday, Sunday. Yep.
Yeah. So they're not going to see any of it. I'm not going to the relief pitching. You don't want them to sit for 5 or 6 days. So you maybe throw them, but do it maybe in a different spot. Maybe don't do it at the end of games. I'm not worried about wins and losses here. I'm worried about staying, you know, in it, so you don't get rusty. And I'm not giving anything up from a pitching standpoint. Every horse needs to be watered and fresh going into that series next week. That's what this is all about. Everything else, you do your normal stuff. I don't think you're going to try and, you know, reinvent the wheel, but don't make sure your pitching is matched up and lined up exactly how you want it, and don't give these guys any more looks at any of your pitching that you're going to deem being, you know, probably at the top of the list of who's going to go in, both in bullpen and your starters.
Every horse has to be watered. Do you water horses like you water plants? Is that the phrase? Because I think I've heard that before. Like, I've also heard you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But watering a horse is getting them water? Like having them drink?
You need to stay hydrated, yeah.
There's no
doubt
about
that.
Horses
got to be hydrated.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I stopped listening about halfway through that because I got an email from Quick Trip saying they're having a bake sale.
Oh, what?
Well, no, Jesse, you're out. I've heard the Madison weight loss commercial, so forget
you. You're about
you.
To again. I guess I got to tap out of this one.
But they've got a big bake sale going on, and it includes the chance to win free Dunkers for a year.
Oh,
talk
what?
About something that gets my attention. There you have it. Look, I don't know how they're going to handle these last few games. All I want is for them to advance to the next series. Because I didn't realize until we were having that conversation last week that they've won one playoff game since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
The golden age of Brewers baseball is going to need to get a series dub for it to continue to be the golden age. Got to win a series here. Next.
Whoa, Nelly!
Speaking of which, this stat blew my mind yesterday from the world of baseball. The Philadelphia Phillies clinched the National League East Division title for the first time since 2011. They were in the World Series not that long ago, and they've been a team that I'd say has had a lot more postseason success over the last 2 decades than the Brewers have had. That made me feel like we have taken for granted the amount of division titles the Brewers have been able to win, as we talked a little bit about last week. Do you feel the same way hearing that stat? The Phillies won the division for the first time in 13 years.
Well, it makes you think, you know, in football, we don't give two rips about divisional championships. Not in Green Bay. Minnesota and Dalton, they definitely care a lot about divisional championships.
Dalton, it's a part, great callback.
It's a part of the process of getting to where you want to go. But in baseball, it gets to be Monday. You think anybody's going to care that we won the division? Nobody cares.
No. Nope.
It's going to be about winning the next series. That's what this is going to be about. And if you don't, yes, we'll recall fondly what a great season this was. But there's going to be start to see, all right, you got to do more. And that's how it should be. And that was my point last week. It can't just be, oh, we're a plucky little group and bop, 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 bop. At some point, you got to take that next step. And the Phillies have been able to do that without winning division titles. They've, you know, obviously, I think it's probably the Braves have dominated the divisional round of that for the most part. The Milwaukee Brewers have. And I loved Council's talk with the Cubs when he, in his season ender, when they've been eliminated from the playoffs, that the Brewers have elevated themselves way up here. Jeff Passan saying this isn't going to be a one-hit wonder year. That makes me feel better and maybe a little bit less, we got to do it. It's not that all-in vibe that maybe we have with Brewers teams in the past because we've built it the right way. But with all that said, they got to get a dub. You're right, Jason. This is going to be a really important series, I think, for our fan base because the excitement level, if we find a way to get in and play the Phillies, which is what it looks like we would do, right, if we win, that will be – I think we will end up moving Packers stuff, not off the front burner, but at least over a little bit and really delve in because the excitement level here is going to be really high if that's where we end up getting to.
All right, that's it for Woe Nelly. I just got an email from the Bucks.
They're giving away donuts for a year, too?
No. Oh.
Having a bake sale?
That they have a major announcement scheduled for Thursday. Oh. I will tell you what it relates to, and we'll see what Tausch thinks it might be. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's an
ordinary world. Somehow I have found. The Milwaukee Bucks will make a major ownership announcement at a press conference this Thursday at 10 a.m. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will attend Thursday's press conference, which will take place on the Bucks practice courts. What do you think this means?
I don't know. I mean, obviously we heard the Junior Bridgman announcement, but wasn't that last week? And I don't think that's what maybe that's what this is.
Yeah.
Maybe I mean, speculation's fun. I have
it is
no
fun.
Clue.
Speaking of speculation.
Only Jimmy's going to be there? Nobody else?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so you think he's buying up the whole deal?
That's what I was wondering. I don't know. It's not a team I cover. Okay. I don't know the Bucks as well as I know the entire NFL. Jesse, real quick. I'm curious. You've had Chrissy in there. Now Pablo. Is this they're going to be on the air, right? They're not just going to be more people picking up your shifts.
Well, I'm hoping for that. But, yes, they will be on the air at some point here in the near future as well, too. So we're working toward that. They're doing a great job. And I hope everyone's enjoying seeing them on the video stream, but they will be heard before you know it.
Yeah, so I want you to clear them because you're the boss. 93.3% of more than 800 votes, the Packers would not have gone 2-0 with Sean Clifford. Unbelievable. Keep voting. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch? Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.